Archie Andrews to Sippy the Clown.
Captain Canuck to Howard the Duck.
We got your comics. We got your comics. Right here.
Here.
Zoom, the Retro Comic Book Show.
I'm recording now. Anyway, alright, cool. So let's do this. Howard the Duck number 16.
You read it?
Yeah. If I'm doing it, that means I read it.
Okay.
There's no, man, there's no trust. There's no confidence in your partner.
All I know is Starhawk would review comics and didn't read them.
Well,
he did six episodes of that kick-ass comic, and he didn't read a single issue. He just picked his way all through it.
But it worked out fine, right?
Okay. No. I didn't know what he had against Big Daddy. Since he didn't even read it.
Well, Big Daddy was an asshole. In that comic, anyway. Say what?
No, he wasn't.
In that comic, yeah, he lied to his wife. No, what did he do? He left his wife and took the daughter, kidnapped his daughter away from his wife and put his daughter in
Finders
danger.
Finders keepers.
Everybody said that was a horrible parenting and that was a horrible character in the comic book. He was way worse than the guy in the movie because at least that guy had
this cage made him change the character.
And then much better, it's a more noble, the woman really did die. He was a noble cop. He wasn't the guy in the comic book, you know, he had a delusional, he was delusional. There was something wrong with that guy. Anyway, forget it. Kick-Ass 2 is coming out next summer. This is Doom. I'm joined by Trenchcoat Mafia from
Podcast X.
And this, you're listening to the Doom Supplement Show. Doom versus Howard the Duck. That's Doom versus Howard the Duck.
You get the top billing?
Because I'm going in to kick Howard the Duck's ass. It's my show.
Howard has it in his own comic.
And I got my own podcast. Okay, his comic book is over. His movie sucked. It was the first Marvel movie. That's why for 25 years, they never had another Marvel movie released in the theaters.
Yeah, the movie was pretty bad.
And he was a debut Marvel character. Howard, you let us down. Okay, you let Marvel lights down. But
they should have let Steve Gerber write the movie.
Oh, he was all out of it. Was he was all left out, huh?
Yup. Typical Jim Shooter being an asshole.
Jim Shooter didn't have nothing to do with that. It was movie studios. They can decide who they want to be involved with that movie.
Then they should have hired Gerber.
Wait, you know what? How do we know that Gerber wasn't involved behind the scenes?
Because I saw the movie. There was no way he was involved.
A lot of people like that movie, though.
They're crazy, then.
You don't think, like, the core of the character was Howard himself? He was, you know, he was a curmudgeon. He was a cynical. You know, he cracked joke wise crackers at Tim Robbins in Beverly. You don't think that was like Howard, you know?
All I know is why do they have the chick from Caroline in the City play Beverly?
she was a redhead in the movie. She's a, well, I didn't think she was cute, but people think that Leah.
Nobody thought she was cute.
She was the lead female in Back to the Future.
What does that say?
That was a big movie at the time. She was chosen for Caroline.
In the stars city. Of that movie were Michael J. Fox and Crispin Glover.
You got a point there. But okay. Well, you know, in Hollywood, you don't get hired to be a lead actress in a movie or a TV show if you're not cute.
Apparently you do.
Damn. Who would you have?
They say she fucked everybody on the crew, so that's how she got the job.
That doesn't even make a lick of sense. Okay, I don't believe it. Anyway, I heard she was disappointed when Howard the Duck bombed, though. The actress, Leah, whatever her name is. Leah Thompson.
She expected it to be a big hit?
Yeah, so did I. I went the first weekend it came out. I bought the Howard the Duck Treasury Edition at the comic book store. Then I bought Howard the Duck number 33 or whatever that was with the gopher on the cover.
Ugh.
And I went to go see the movie and I was excited. Anyway.
And then you saw the movie. What do you think?
As I said before on the previous episodes, I dragged my sister to go see that because I made the decision of what movies to see. To see that and Prince Under the Cherry Moon that same year, and our relationship hasn't been the same since.
I guess not. That was another bad movie.
So, I forgot where we got. Oh, who would you have chosen to play Beverly in the movie?
Anybody good. I just would have dyed her hair red if she wasn't a redhead.
Okay, so Meryl Streep. All right. How?
No, she was way too old even then.
What age would you have went for?
Like early 20s.
Okay. I thought you were going to say 7 for a minute.
Well, if I directed the movie, yeah.
Howard the Duck number 16 on the cover. It says special once in a lifetime album issue, whatever that means. Howard at the mercy of the most powerful foe, the incredible creator. Actually, the incredible should be taken out of this. Just the creator of the comics. And it's called Deadline Doom. And it's Howard and Beverly on a typewriter.
Apparently, Steve Gerber has some hairy claws.
Yes, he sees himself as a monster, and so do I when I see his writing. He is a monster when it comes to writing, a horrible, horrible creature for inflicting some of this stuff on people. All right, it opens up with...
The greatest pre-Alan Moore writer.
You must be insane. Who in the 70s was as good as him or better? I know there were some people. I can't think
of... There were some who were close, but only close.
Chris Claremont.
Englehart. Yeah, Chris Claremont. Don McGregor. I can't
Don McGregor? He sucks!
You like Kilraven?
Actually, I didn't read Kilraven, but I read Saber and Black Panther and...
Detectives Incorporated?
Who else?
Detectives Incorporated.
That was boring, too. I mean, for a comic
book... Ragamuffins from Eclipse Monthly.
All his shit was overwritten. Okay, I'm still trying to get through Saber. Anyway, forget it.
You're jealous because you want to ride around on a giant moth, too.
Jim Shooter was a better writer than Steve Gerber in the 70s.
Jim Shooter was crap.
What he is not a crap writer. He's a good writer. Movie. And so is Bill Mantlo. Come to think of it, Bill Mantlo is...
Bill Mantlo, fuck him.
He was not horrible. Anyway, and he tried to put people of color in comics, too. That's why he had the White Tiger. Opening this up here, the first page of this is the last page of the last issue where our characters meet Dr. Bong, and it's a cliffhanger. But it tells us at the bottom that's where our story left off last issue. It's also where...
And I'm sure you're going to say it's all downhill from here.
Yes. And they're going to continue this story next issue in number 17. And he said, the Millie off the wall adventure into absurdity, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, he says, in this issue is the result of dot, 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 technical difficulties. Please stand by. Yes. And I say there is difficulties. Okay. But I say it's mental difficulties of the writer.
Would you rather they have one reprint?
Forget reprint. Why can't they just have a filler? I know somebody wrote a filler story, a good filler story. You know?
But it was probably Bill Mantlow, so who would want to read it?
I would. I like, you know what? And I can't wait till we get to the Mantlow issues. He didn't write any issues of this. He just wrote the magazine, right?
He wrote, I think, two issues of this. Definitely the last one.
Okay, yeah, can't wait to get to that.
He had Steve Gerber clearly depicted Beverly fucking Dr. Bong, and Mantlow went back and had her say, oh no, I never fucked him, like Howard was going to believe that, or the readers for that matter.
But that's what women do. They deny, you know, they don't say that they fucked as many people as they did. And especially if it's a boyfriend that they regret fucking, then they're going to leave that out. They're going to conveniently forget. No, I didn't fuck 32 people. I fucked 5. First page. Okay, just tell the readers, this isn't a regular comic book. It's a prose. It's an article or some kind of, I don't know what the fuck, dissertation by Steve Gerber that he wrote on a road trip when he was going to do some, I think he was going to a comic convention or something.
He says the only reader who's going to remain loyal to him after this is Harlan Ellison, maybe.
And I don't think Harlan, I think Harlan wrote this and what a piece of tripe. Even though, forget it. It says, it says, for the past 8 weeks, you've been laboring under tremendous pressure. You scripted Howard 15, the HTD annual, the first several weeks of continuity for the Ducks newspaper strip, and almost single-handedly you edited, written, and produced a 64-page Kiss magazine that last required your presence in the bullpen for almost daily for a few hours over that two-month span, hours which you should have spent at your desk writing. And basically, this is him feeling sorry for himself, whining and bitching that he has a job as a writer that most people don't have and they wish they could have. And basically, he's not that great of a writer that he can act like he... And look what he's doing. Kiss magazine, forgotten. And then the...
And pointless...
In Howard the Duck stuff, that's what he's supposed to be writing. That's his baby. So why is he whining and bitching? And he actually has to go into work in the office. What a bitch. What a bitchy bitch.
Why do you hate Gerber?
Because he's portentous, pretentious. He thinks he's more important than he is.
I thought of more good writers from the 70s. Len Wein, Marv Wolfman, and Doug Mensch.
Yeah, okay, yeah, you're right. Damn, how could I forget Marv Wolfman? Yeah, he's good. He's good. I probably say all the writers...
He saved his best stuff for DC with New Teen Titans, though.
And what's my boy's name? Oh, so you're saying that New Teen Titans was better than his Tomb of Dracula?
I wouldn't go that far.
You just said he saved his best stuff for...
was great.
You said...
I stand corrected then.
And let's see here. There was somebody else better in the 70s. John Byrne. He was coming up with that Doomsday 1. He came out...
He wasn't even the best X-Men artist. Neil Adams. Mark Adams. Paul Smith. Come on.
Let's continue this story. It says, I've forgotten what I read this like a couple of days ago and I forgot what he wrote. See, that's so y'all what a great writer he is right here that I forgot that most of the shit that he wrote. He said, you crack under the... Okay, now he's talking to himself as he's talking to Howard as he's driving across the country because he's insane. They're driving towards Vegas. And he says...
Why does that make him insane?
Because Howard doesn't exist.
And he's this in his head.
And actually, this story mirrors a story that was just recently reprinted in the Man Thing comic book. And it was just put on shelves in 2012 from something Steve wrote a long time ago about a crazy character who drives across the country talking to a character. I mean, it's a screenwriter as a character, and he's talking to one of the characters that he created, a figment of his imagination. He's having a breakdown. He's cracking as he's driving across the country, and this reminds me of this story. So that's perfect.
And the character was a tree.
Yes, the figment of the writer's imagination was a tree. But are you going to deny that? We're going to review that Inferno Man thing sooner or later. But for the listeners, but are you denying that character in Inferno Man thing, issues 1 to 3, was Steve Ditko? I mean Steve Gerber. I'm sorry, two horrible writers and artists. But anyway. Steve Ditko. Are you denying that this was Steve Gerber?
Why are you picking on Ditko with four people? Again.
He went insane too. You're about to read that comic book that I sent you. Issue 16.
Yeah, I can't find it anywhere for free to download.
Why do you need that since I sent it to you?
I don't. Oh, I gotta read the Back in Quack Spider-Man story first.
You could leave that for last. I just sent it because it's Howard. I don't need to hear you dissing all the new writers of Howard the Duck.
Nobody else can write Howard except Gerber.
Okay. What else is going on in this story? Oh, so anyway.
And Howard. What's up with that guy, John?
Oh,
your fans.
There's a commenter, for the people who don't know, somebody commenting on the Doom threads, on the Doom comment boards, a guy named John who is dissing Transcom Mafia because he had a stroke and because of his voice sounds a little hoarse. This guy, John, is a bitch. If he had a stroke, he would be dead. He wouldn't even be able to get over it. And that's a low blow. Trying to diss somebody, because any of us, if we get sick, I got a stuttering problem. Why do y'all have to diss people based on something that is naturally, that happened? Even though Chenko Mafia, you dissed Bill Mantlo because he got in an accident and he's laid up.
Well, but he should have been wearing a helmet.
That's true. That's true. But John, fuck you, man. Who are you? I'm trying to do this. Forget this comment. Who is John?
And apparently he's a longtime fan of Podcast X because he remembered I used to call myself Dr. Monkey Pants.
Yep, that's why I was saying, could it be MC Trekkie?
Could be.
That's what I was thinking. More likely
than Xanti's Fire.
No, I think it could be Xanti Fire. He's a high list of suspects, too. Actually, that's right. The guy just dissed Xanti's Fire really bad. And Xanti's Fire is not smart enough to do a dual personality like that. So I don't think he's that clever. So you're right. I take him off the list. It's either
Kid Mission isn't that smart either.
Oh, who?
Kid Mission.
Oh, yeah. I think she's long gone. So, yeah, I think I'll take her off the list. I don't know who John is. I did have JDR on the list.
I think she's probably still pretending to be a chick, though.
A chick with a dick. But, yeah, I had JD on the list because he's an asshole, but I take him off because he wouldn't know about Dr. Monkey Pants. It's MC Trekkie. That's who I think John is.
Most likely. Either him or the haters or the fixer.
Yes, I don't think Fixer would do that. I think he'd just come on as himself because he's used to being an asshole that he doesn't have to take on an alternate asshole personality. All right, let's see here. And they were riding along the road, And Howard calls him an idiot, calls Steve an idiot. Hey, like an idiot, you voluntarily took the pressure of producing this instant issue rather than allowing the magazine to go reprint. You did it for the readers. And we're saying, bitch, how are you helping the readers by writing on this long, rambling essay?
It had it taken longer to read this than regular issue. I don't get it.
I was thinking that, but maybe not, because I would, as a writer, I would like to put little bit directions. You know, you got to think of the visuals, and you got to think of what the artist has put in, so that even though the script looks more sparse than this, I think it's easier to write this because it's like stream of conscious. You know, I could do that. I could write stream of conscious and not think about anything and still write this much what he wrote in a day. But when it comes to writing a script for a comic book artist, I think it's more complicated. But that's just my two cents. What else is in here? Or there was something else. Forget it. Oh yeah, reprint. Why does it got to be a reprint? Why can't it just? Why? Yeah, I know they have Bill Mantlo in the wings. Instead of writing a reprint, they could just do a what you call those a done in one issue story.
And it would have been as bad as the Mr. Fish story.
You know,
even you got to admit that was horrible.
Wait, was Mr. Fish Mantlo?
Yep.
Wait a minute. It wasn't that bad. But actually, I like the art in that comic book more than the writing. But it wasn't that bad. It was Mr. Fish. Don't you like the campy Batman?
And that wasn't even good art. George Tuska is usually a lot better.
That was good art because that little midget, black midget that he drew, I thought that was a pretty good art. I like that story. I like the art. And I like those corny Power Man issues anyway, the early ones, Hero for Hire. Okay, and the title of this is Zen, an Art of Comic Book Writing, a communique from Colorado. He was in Colorado, a state that I've never been to and I want to go to. Mike Myers lives there, and I would like to, I've been intending to go there for the past 6 years, and anyway, enough of that. It's depressing. That I didn't make it there yet. All right. Chapter 1. Writers are like people. Okay. It's that for Steve Gerber. He's on route to Las Vegas. He's in Colorado. And he's talking about how he's at, he's eating some waffles at a Waffle House near Denver. And he comes up with this brilliant philosophy that plants are like people. Writers are like plants. Therefore, this may be come as a surprise, but writers are like people. Give them light, water, nourishment, and comfortable pots. And I think he meant that as double entendre. And encouraging words, and they'll grow. Really, they'll blossom. They'll create things of beauty. Well, that's brilliant. If you treat people good, they'll prosper. That's real brilliant. You came up with how you came out with that all by yourself, Steve? Thank you.
Well, it's true.
Yeah, but you know what else too? The sun is yellow. Does that make me brilliant that I came up with that?
No, not hardly.
And I'm confused about these. There's different pictures of Gerber in here. One, there's a long hair where we see the back of him. He's got long, plenty of hair. And then there's pictures like this one where he has in the front of him a balding. He's balding, even though he isn't even 30 yet. Which one is it? Anyway,
what page are you on?
Whatever. Writer's like, people, you probably ain't even looking at this comic book.
I'm trying to find where you are.
I mean, writers are like people. The second page, the one where all the characters are flowers at the bottom.
Okay.
And it shows his, and Steve Gerber is the sun. It's trying to say he's the sun and he creates all these flowers like Man-Thing. Well, he didn't create Man-Thing.
Not technically, but he may as well have.
Actually, no, yeah, he hell.
I think he wrote it from the second story on.
Omega, yeah, he created the little boy in Omega, which is a depressing-ass story.
it's a great story.
Yeah, I didn't say it was. Well, actually, no, because at the end, it's like, what's the point of this? This down shit was depressing as hell. All 10 issues of were the 10 issues by the time you get to the whole arc.
Well, if Shooter didn't fire him, Gerber could have wrapped that story up properly.
Other characters that he nurtured, and it's kind of sad to say that. Or actually, he could have put some of the damn Guardians of the Galaxy in his motherfucking flower garden of his, but he just littered it with two characters from...
I think only three people were reading that book at the time, including me.
How long did it last?
Not long.
I'm surprised, and why did they bring it back in the 90s and then now in the 2000s, and they're going to make a movie of it?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Even though this new incarnation of Guardians is way different from the original, but that comic book didn't last. Guardians of the Galaxy, the new one with Rocket Raccoon, is canceled. So how they figured they was going to make a movie out of that when it's not even long-lasting enough?
Well, they're making a movie out of Ant-Man, so enough said.
I agree, and all the people clamoring for Ant-Man. Now, why was it Hawkeye and Black Widow in the movie and not Ant-Man and Wasp?
Ant-Man would be cool if they have Hank slap down Jan like in the comic.
That's not good.
That was awesome.
We don't need domestic abuse, and it's bad enough the images of women in comic books, you having them get beat up. Anyway, speaking of that, I've been reading my Ant-Man Essential because just like Saber, it's very hard to get through. Even though I do admit I'm getting through this one story that I like where we have to review. I would like to review it with you where he's fighting a unique kind of villain. He's an Ant-Man and he's fighting a man whose voice is so melodic that he can convince anybody to do anything. So, yeah, listen. I like to read that. I like corny shit like that.
I have to download Essential Ant-Man?
No. I get the Tales to Astonish issue for you. The number. Then there's who else is in the garden? All Howard the Duck characters. Howard, Beverly, Wenda, and the Kidney Lady. And what's up with this pack of cigarettes here in the corner?
The artists had to put their signatures somewhere.
Okay. And I'm having trouble with my, my whatever reader this is. I hate this reader. Damn! I just clicked a simple thing and it just turned up.
What
just
do you use?
The whole page. I don't know. Is it CD display?
Oh.
But
I never had a problem with CD display.
Well, I had neither until now. Now the bar that's usually at the bottom is now on the side of the screen. So, anyway, forget it. It's still working fine. So this is pretty cool. And this little thing in the corner, this little cigarette box wouldn't be here if Quesada was the editor-in-chief.
People smoke.
I think cigarettes are back. I could have sworn, and in Marvel, I could have sworn.
Oh, good.
I saw it somewhere. Okay. Howard says, something's eating at you, Gerber, and it's not just the deadlines or pressure. They might have skipped something where he was whining about the deadlines, because I would like to smack him for doing that. quit whining about the deadlines, Gerber. Something's eating at you, Gerber. It's not just the deadlines, pressure, or work either. I watched you, Hairless Apes. When you whack out, it's for deeper reasons than that stuff you can't talk about or won't. And then he goes on, he probably does have troubles in his life, and we don't want to know about your troubles. Okay, we came to read a comic. We came for escapism. We don't want to know about your nervous breakdowns. Okay. And then he asked him, now you might enjoy this. He says, by the way, Gerber, when did the Human Torch first appear in a solo adventure in Marvel Age of Comics? Huh? Strange Tale number 101. Why?
And that was an easy one.
not for me. I wouldn't know that. And who were the villains in the first 50 issues of Fantastic Four? In order? Mo Man, the Skrulls, Miracle Man, Submariner, Dr. Doom, Subby, and Doom together. Kurgo, Puppet Master, Submariner again, Dr. Doom, and he continues on.
Well, I could have named the first five, but I would have been lost after that.
And you, oh, you read the first issues of Fantastic Four?
Yeah, of course. Who didn't?
Anyway, because you probably were 11 at the time they came out.
I wasn't even born.
It's quick. Act like everybody read that then. You probably just read the essentials. Anyway, it just came out a few years ago.
No, I think I had a black and white reprint that Marvel used to put those out.
And then Howard the Duck makes his point. He says, I just wanted you to see for yourself how much trivia you were carrying around in your head. It's got to be crowding out the important stuff or keeping it safely suppressed. I bet you could rattle off a complete list of your next 50 deadlines, too. But when I ask you about your psychological posture, you suppose.
Now, wait a minute, my web-footed wag.
That was corny. Go ahead.
Oh. Gerber. And it makes a good point. Where would Howard be without the first 50 issues of FF?
So he's trying to rationalize why he's a comic fan and loves this stuff. You shouldn't have to rationalize it if you're making a living as a writer for comics. That's what annoys me. And then we see, oh, and if we get that, I'll continue with what else. He said, yeah, when you start asking opinions about the nature of the mind, he's your mind, Gerber. Not the mind. And then he's arguing with himself, basically, back and forth. This man's got troubles. This man was a troubled young man. I feel bad for him. I told you something's eating at you, and you won't talk about it. You keep retreating to the abstract, to suppositions about intangibles like boredom and institutions and society. There was a reason you wanted to write this dumb essay. And yet you refuse to let me or the readers in on it. Yeah, let us in on it. You wasted an issue on this essay when we could have had another Howard story. What's going on?
No, because next there's the obligatory comic book fight scene.
Oh, yes. Even though we skipped this good picture on this page where there's a fork in the tongue. When that is like a fork in the road, and I just wanted to rattle off the good science fiction images they had here.
Jaws. Here's Dr. Doom doing a tap dance.
Yes, and look at the fork in the road. He's got two choices in the road that he can go do: Doom or Despair, and they're both registered and trademarked. Why? I hate whiny little bitches like this. Okay, you got a great job as a writer at Marvel Comics. And yet, you're so, so pessimistic. But can you tell me about the symbolism?
In his defense, he only had 60 years to live.
He didn't know that. At the time, he was only late 20s. I can't believe
it. He should have known that because he smoked. What do you think was going to happen?
Here's all the images on this Doom side. There's Jaws, the ship from War of the Worlds, the 1950s version, of course.
Yep, the tripod.
And that's what women call me when I take off my pants, tripod. And there's Man-Thing, and of course Dr. Doom with a little tap dancing hat. In the middle of the road is Omega, the unknown, lying on his back with flower as if to say he's dead, that's depressing. And on the Despair side, there's a squid from the Watchmen movie. No, I'm just joking.
Why do you hate the squid? The Space 1999
ship.
Yeah.
I was hoping you would tell me where this giant squid came from, but I guess it could come from any science fiction story back then. And Mr. Whipple
came from Watchmen.
No, it didn't, because this is 10 years before Watchmen. Anyway, but it's the same 1950s, probably science fiction movie that Moore watched when he admitted that he didn't know how to end The Watchmen, and he just came up with this shit out of the top of his head.
Which was brilliant.
Not. Yeah, to Space 1999.
I know at least Courtney likes the squid, as do all right-thinking people.
No comment. Anyway, why the ship from the Boeing Space 1999 show and not the Enterprise? I don't know. And,
because the Enterprise is lame. Fuck Star Trek.
And Mr. Whipple from the Charmin commercials. Why is he in despair? And on the despair side of the road, I don't know. Mr. Charmin, everybody loves Mr. Whipple and Charmin. And then he's got all these things about that's bad in his life, deadline due. Big John's is smoking, whatever that is. Probably he's smoking, which he's, and some other things that is probably inside.
John for Putin. Okay. The guy in charge of, like, deadlines and stuff, which makes sense.
You don't know what? Steve's in a Dutch.
Steve's in the Dutch, and we're not joking. Burma Shave.
Okay. Oh, yeah, Burma Shave, I get that. That used to be the old, when you used to ride down the road, the signs for Burma Shave, they were the first billboards in the nation. I knew that. But
I'm not old enough to remember that.
Anyway, now on to the obligatory fight scene, and which is just a nonsensical story that he wrote about, because in every, which this is true in every Marvel magazine, you had to have the obligatory fight scene, or any mainstream comic, which is why people started to hate superhero comics.
Yeah.
But the two adversaries in the fight scene are the stripper and her pet ostrich and a talking lamp.
Did you ever read Nevada?
No, I was going to ask that's where this came from. Actually, this didn't come from there. That's amazing. Okay, this is 1976, but Nevada, he didn't make until, like, the 1990s. But Nevada is about a stripper.
He finally got around to it.
So he, at least you could say he had this story in his head for 14 years or so.
And notice Vertigo made him make Nevada white.
Yeah, and I'm pissed because here the stripper is black, and we could have had a black heroine of a story. But instead,
she still has her ostrich, though.
Fuck him, he sold out. Nevada was black originally, sold out. And then he told a story about how the stripper and the ostrich, they beat the the lampshade. Okay, now back to the story.
Didn't he use the lampshade too eventually?
I don't know. I don't follow his work like that. And he probably did in a freaking Howard the Duck story.
I think so.
And these ridiculous bad guys, and now you got the nerve to jump on Bill Mantlo. I remember the first Howard the Duck story I read was Bill Mantlo from the Howard the Duck magazine, a Bill Mantlo story about the gorilla, the consumer gorilla.
So everything had to be better from there.
Anyway, back to this story, part four or whatever.
I hate Mantlo's Howard the Duck villains, like Greedy Killer Rot. And the chair thing, what the fuck?
Yeah, because the big giant serpent with the top hat is any better. And the
butt was. That was funny.
No,
I know, if I say so.
It's not. How could that be any funnier than Mantlo's? His was just as ridiculous. And I don't know why one is funny or not. You have a bias against.
Well, Mantlo didn't create the great Dr. Bong or Space Turnip or Winky Man.
And we see how they stayed in the nation's conscious and pop culture. You know what? The Turnip is like rivaling with Joker as one of the greatest villains of all time.
Yup. Pretty much.
Smart ass. The next page, Visions of Sugar Plum, and we see that Howard and Steve have made it to the Grand Canyon, and they got a lot of smart-ass things to say about that. Before they do, I just want to point out the picture, the most interesting thing about this, which over the Grand Canyon there's a giant rainbow, and there are a bunch of characters walking across the Rainbow Bridge, and it ain't the people from Asgard. There's a tank, and there's, I thought it was Sugar and Spice, but it's a probably Dick and Jane, and then in front of them, Man-Thing, a Buddha, the master kung fu Roman soldier, one of the ones who probably killed Jesus Christ, Caligula. Or
there was no Jesus.
He existed. And
prove it.
There's Caligula, Charlotte Turin. His face is on it, got it printed on it.
That's been debunked. Try again.
Julius Caesar is also on the bridge, or Caligula, however you want to look at it. And
well, at least they actually existed.
Fred Astaire. Thank you.
Notice Shang-Chi is like bright orange.
Yeah, because he's Asian and he has to be something other than brown for some reason. Yeah, and I wonder why he put Shang-Chi on this bridge anyway. I don't think he had nothing to do with Shang-Chi. You leave Shang-Chi alone, Steve. Anyway, the picture on the previous page or a couple pages ago was Cockrum. I don't know who did this one. Anyway, he says, were they looking
Milgram.
At? Oh, Milgram. Okay, who wasn't that great. He did a lot of Hulk comics,
and they were all bad.
Was he? Okay, no, never mind.
He was so bad, I would rather read John Byrne's Hulk.
How dare you? John Byrne is great. You're looking at the Grand Canyon. Steve says, Majestic. No, Howard says, I'm sorry, Howard asks, Majestic, ain't it? Obviously unimpressed. How dare you be unimpressed with the Grand Canyon? The Grand Canyon is... One of the great eight worlds.
Like Howard says, it's the world's biggest, most convoluted rut.
It's not a rut because nobody got stuck in it. You couldn't get stuck in that. You could just fall to your death.
And how come when the Brady Bunch, when they went to the Grand Canyon, they were running mules down in it? What if... A mule fell over, then the person would die. I don't get it.
I reluctantly have to agree with you on that, even though it seems like fun. But but people who do those type of tours, this guy, he says tourists want to fuck around and fuck off. Of course they do. And he said he has to yell at them and curse them. And I imagine a grown man, you know, the what you call it, the guide, who does this for a living, yelling at some stupid tourist who's a grown-ass man in front of his kids. Hey, asshole! Get back on the fucking trail! Because he's trying to save their life. I mean, how could you want to fuck around when you're riding a horse for the first or second or third time along a fucking cliff? I can't believe it. I would never want to do that shit, even though I'm sure it's beautiful. I would want to do it because it's probably beautiful, but somebody like you and Steve Gerber and Howard the Duck would say it's worthless. But I
well, think, yeah. And you know, why can't they at least have guardrails? I don't know how they would install them.
Yeah, exactly. Ain't nobody going to start guardrails all up and down a goddamn mountain or a cliff or the Grand Canyon. And you know what? F. Gerber... for being such a fucking cynic and a pessimist that he can't see the beauty of the Grand Canyon. Thank you.
It's a hole in the ground.
Okay. All right. Anyway.
And when's the next episode of Doom going to be up? You were going to try to do Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And it's Wednesday today. And there's no new episode.
First of all, motherfucker, I was posting it just as you called to come because I fell asleep last night as I was editing it, but I finished it and I was rendering it when you called. I stopped the render so I can.
Hopefully, it's an episode with me in it.
Unfortunately, yes, Howard the Duck.
Because those are the best ones.
Anyway, back to the story. Howard says, I think I like this part. I stare dumbly at my friend. I probably missed a whole bunch of shit here. I'm about to read this whole paragraph, I think. Look, Gerber, it's not like nature dug this oversized storm drain with the specific intent of creating a tourist attraction.
Oversized storm drain, which it is,
No, it's not. It exists because the river did what it's supposed to do. It flowed, and the rocks did what they were supposed to do. They eroded. Guys like you are just envious because nature didn't have to put any thought into its work. You want to be able to write the same way. Only writing isn't a natural process. Nature only had to make something out of nothing once in its whole career. You've got to do it daily. If God had your temperament, the universe would be a box of typewriter paper waiting to be opened. Okay, this is
blasphemous. Notice the first paragraph was so well written, he had to read the whole thing.
It's blasphemous. It's egocentric on his part to think that he's like God as a writer.
There's no God.
Or that, look at this, or that he can say, even if you don't believe in God, and say this is nature, the work of nature. The Grand Canyon is way better than any Howard the Duck story or comic book story by any writer. Okay, this is a wondrous work of nature.
After the whole Earth, including the canyon, is gone, there'll still be Howard the Duck. Because when...
Yes, if the Earth is destroyed...
go off into space, they'll save it. So there you go.
I stare dumbly, yes. I stare dumbly at my friend Howard the Duck. Just like I stare dumbly at the page in the typewriter when I write up these damn stories. Pleading with my eyes for him to continue, he turns away, shaking his head, folding his arms over his chest in disgust. He won't talk to me, and I don't know what to say. After deliberation, I arrive at the following gem. Communication takes a lot of energy, Howard. Basically, you're a lazy son of a bitch, and that's why you're not prolific like Alan Moore, Steve King, the real Steve, Morrison, Grant, motherfucking Morrison, even that goddamn Neil Gaiman. Quit being lazy, quit feeling sorry for yourself, Stevie, and get on the typewriter and type.
You left out Ed Brubaker.
Fuck him.
You didn't like his X-Men? I know you didn't like Captain America.
His X-Men was okay. I just read two trades of his X-Men. It wasn't that great. His Captain America wasn't great at all, even though I didn't read Winter Soldier yet. I just read some of
it. But you read two whole trades of his X-Men.
Because it was available for free at the library. Anyway, continuing this story so we can finish this up. Howard scowls. I light a cigarette. Steve, you need to put that cigarette out. We both sit there for a long moment, wordlessly gazing at the spectacles of the canyon. You admit that this canyon is a fucking spectacle now, you asshole. You know what the canyon really is, Gerber? It's the world's biggest, most convoluted rut.
Yup.
I laugh out involuntarily. I gotta hand it to you, pal. That's definitely a new interpretation of the phenomena. In other words, I'm patting myself on the back because I came up with that as a writer. Anyway, that's all I got to say on this page, even though there's more written here. But I don't want to... Oh, I hate this stuff with people. Listen, I'm going to grab... Howard is not impressed with the canyon, so he wants to go... He says, listen, I'm going to go grab a bite to eat. They got a great processed ham sandwich at the restaurant in the souvenir gift shop with the Taiwan-manufactured Indian beans. Why don't you sit here alone and meditate on a natural splendor while I gorge myself on preservatives? Free associate. See what you come up with. And it definitely, that's what his story is. Free association. Damn. A serpent with a top hat. A turnip, a space turnip. This is my motherfucker.
See, it works for him. Those are great ideas.
And why is he getting around with preservatives? Leave it alone. You're going to eat it, ain't you? The next page is just a story about a husband and a wife. And
this was the best part of this comic.
I ain't reading
the story.
It's just a story, a guy who's upset with society being a part of the grid. That's what I take out of it, because he looks at a bunch of papers on the coffee table.
Ram Sludge Hawthorne.
That's his.
And the name Ram Sludge is pretty great.
And he's looking at all the tax forms and shit that he's got to fill out just to be a part of the world.
And his wife is Vermarca Demonstrata.
And they paint her as if she's a tree. She's planted in a chair, sewing, knitting, and leave her hair.
River says she would have been beautiful if she had been born a tree, but as a woman, she was an aesthetic disaster.
Which the artist of this was...
Which is good misogyny.
Yeah, and this whole thing is misogynist because the husband runs off and says, fuck this, I want to be a part of this system. I'm going to be free. Basically, the wife, she's just sitting there like some kind of fucking Stepford wife. And he's like, fuck this, I'm free. And he becomes, I forgot what his new name is.
Orlong Hay Mountain.
And, of course, you know, he dies, but she collects his Social Security and lives her, you know, she just lives her life very long. It says, Remarca wasn't very happy, but her life lasted longer than Orlong's, and she collected Ram Sludge insurance and Social Security when she turned 62.
Bitch.
But no, I just have a problem with what John Shibishima did here. He drew her hands almost and her legs almost like tree barks, old woman hair, as described in the text. But he drew her face beautiful. Like her face is pretty.
Well, the artist couldn't bring himself to draw her ugly.
They should have got Jack Kirby to do the face, and that would have fixed everything. Okay, that story is over. And okay, class, he writes. Okay, let's analyze the preceding story. And they and the class talks about what the writer meant.
Why do you expect Jack Kirby to draw women like Dave Stevens or somebody?
He
doesn't draw hot chicks.
He doesn't have to draw like
Dave Stevens. That wasn't his thing.
Or Steve Rude or any of those people. He just has to draw a woman who looks like a woman. That's all I'm saying. Not like... a giant concrete Easter, what you call it, Easter Island head. That's what all women look like. Anyway.
Big Barda didn't look like that.
She did, because she had a whole bunch of headdress and all kinds of shit. She looked just like all his other women, but because he put her in this great outfit and she's supposed to be a big dyke looking creature, then it works out for her, but not for Sue Storm.
She's not a duck, though, or she wouldn't have married Mr. Miracle.
She probably kicks his ass. And she probably, like, beats him in bed. She probably, like, bends him over and just does things to him. Poor Scott.
That's the Vertigo comic, probably.
Don't want to see it. Okay, class, let's analyze a preceding story, says the professor. I think we can agree that its literary merit is nil. Yes, I agree. And thus, our approach must be from a psychological viewpoint. Any objections? The class shakes his head. Good, let us proceed. Here we have the product of an extremely hostile individual with readily apparent paranoid tendencies. He is more fearful than angry, more humiliated than vengeful. He can only conceive of escape from a given unpleasant situation. Copying behavior like communication requires too great an expenditure of energy. Now, how can we deduce these facts? And, yeah, I agree. This is pretty much sums up Steve Gerber's
the right. Icky, icky homo. Behold the icky man.
You had to read that, didn't you? Ram Sludge, he is called the strong masculine, but significantly sheepish first syllable, occupied with the concept of slime, waste, and unpleasant odors. The writer feels the male in this society is like sheep, who is allowed to live only as long as he can be shorn, then he's slaughtered for chops. I didn't read this part, but this is pretty good. I think obviously the author also feels both compassion and propinquity, and I don't know how to pronounce that. Why you gotta use big ass words that you probably just probably
propinquity? Propinquity? I never heard of that word either.
Asshole, meaning Steve Gerber, and with and to his beleaguered protagonist, Do we agree, class? The class nods. Is he just trying to say, or in other words, yeah, I guess he's saying how English teachers and professors interpret the work of an artist for their students, which is pretty much true. And yeah, that sucks.
Why do you want to review every issue of Howard when you hate Gerber so much?
Because I'm fascinated. Okay. I like the idea of an anthropomorphic creature like that looks like a cartoon character, like our favorite Bugs Bunny and all that. But you place him in a comic book that definitely isn't for kids and isn't for, you know, it's just for, you know, how could I say it? He's a more cynical creature than the average cartoon character. That's a good idea, but then Gerber kind of messes it up. This great idea. By having all these ridiculous scenarios, some of the ridiculous scenarios he comes up with, just like he just thought of something off the top of his head because he got a deadline.
If you want good, non-ridiculous Gerber, read his Son of Satan stories.
Okay, even though I don't give it that Satan, that's satanic, that's blasphemous.
It's cool.
Oh, the professor here, I forgot the professor here is Howard the Duck, who looks a hell of a lot like Donald in this picture. But anyway, did you want to read any more? Because I forgot what happens in this page.
No, but you reminded me. Why did Disney sue Marvel saying Howard looks like Donald when most of the time he doesn't? Because Gene Colan's usually drawing him.
I don't know, because people are assholes, but it's not an issue now since Disney owns Marvel.
They made Marvel give him pants and everything.
That was 30, 40 years ago. Now they own Howard the Duck and he can take his pants off. Okay? Are you satisfied? And I hope they do another movie this time, either make it animated or you can use
CGI Howard.
Yeah, that looks more like this Howard, but also be less sitcom like they did in the goddamn first movie. Even though looking back, I guess it wasn't the worst movie. It wasn't the worst movie in the world.
What was worse?
Come on, man. There was a ton of
besides Gladiator.
I can name another one, The Adventures of Buckaroo Banzai.
Ooh.
And anyway, you know what, I'm gonna go back and read his little interpretation of his own story later on. But going back to the next page.
Oh, where's the sequel to Buckaroo Banzai? They promised.
Oh, yeah, it's a movie called Big Trouble in Little China. That script was intended to be for Buckaroo Banzai, but they changed it around. Anyway, in this last page, two guys grab Howard, and they're taking him to some kind of processing machine, which they put writers into. In this case, they put Steve Gerber. They slam his head straight into the processing machine, and he comes out as Gerber Strained Brains. And I don't know why.
You have to admit, this is funny.
I don't know why he's totally bald here on the bottle of the Gerber Strained Brain. But he says,
because every time they show him from the front, he's bald. He only has hair on the back of his head.
Okay, damn, that's a fucked up look. The outrage of Marvelites put the typist, not the writer, but they call him the typist, and slam him into the marketplace, and he comes out as you know, Strain Brains, Gerber Food. This is a teeth.
And they're grabbing Howard here, and they have him labeled as Fluke.
And that might be true since, well, I don't know, you couldn't say it because George Lucas did want to make a movie of it, and he was pretty popular. But he did his popular, he left after the 70s.
Gerber also created Omega.
Yes.
Who I like if nobody else does. And Vance Astro and Starhawk.
The point of those, of being a real artist, is that those characters are long lasting in the public's eye, the greater...
Lesser talents can't write them.
I disagree. And there is a new... There was a new Omega a couple of years ago.
I didn't read it. Did you?
No, and I have most of them here in my comic box.
Even Gerber was pissed off they were doing that without him.
I was going to... Well, shit, bitch. He's not... motherfucker, you're not in Marvel no more. You've been gone.
He was still alive, but they didn't even ask him.
You and Marvel Gerber had a falling out. They own the characters. They don't have to ask you for shit. There's plenty of characters that people created, and they don't write those characters.
That's why the creators should always own the characters.
And good, and you can take it elsewhere and print it yourself and see how far y'all go. Anyway, the writers...
Usually it would work like that if it's a profitable idea.
And Omega isn't, and neither is Vince Anstro by itself, but once you put him in Marvel, and they make him part of the Marvel Universe, then you got something. The writers...
You forgot Starhawk.
What about Starhawk?
The character.
No, he's in the new one. He's in the first, at least the first couple of trades.
When is the Guardians movie coming out?
Either next year or 2014, one of those. Oh, speaking of, yeah, what about Starhawk? He is forgotten. You forgot Starhawk in your new episodes of Podcast X.
No, I've got new episodes of Podcast X all ready to go all the way through January of 2013.
Oh, that's ridiculous. Anyway, go ahead.
I haven't forgot Starhawk.
Need to make some more up to date, not have stuff that was 4 or 5 months old, you're still releasing. But anyway, because that's how old it's going to be by the time you put it out in January.
Well, there's a lot of Courtney to get through.
Put her episodes out as 1.5 hour episodes every week. And you'll be done in a couple of weeks.
I already edited them. Why would I re-edit them that way?
You're stretching it out. You're going to lose your fan base. Okay, you already went from 27 to 21, and you came back. You should have got more listeners. But they want you to hear you every week.
Okay. I'm back to 27, and amazingly, Podcast Triple X is up to 15 subscribers. Even though there hasn't been a new episode of that since 2010.
What about this letter that Steve Gerber wrote to himself at the end of the comic book? Dear Steve, I just finished reading HTD 16, and I'm afraid my reaction to your Noble experiment is somewhat ambivalent. And yes, I agree. And what he says, above all, I enjoyed the personal touch in what I assume to be the prologue of the quote-unquote story for a change. It's a welcome to learn the real circumstances and the particulars behind the euphemism dreaded deadline doom. Okay, why you got no particulars about that? You need it.
And then he lists a bunch of good writers and Bill Mantlo.
That's where you got this list from at the beginning of this episode when you said, oh, I just came up with a bunch of good writers. You went back and looked at this list here. Len Wine, Doug Monk.
Just remembered a lot of writers from the 70s.
Chris Claremont and Bill Mantlo. He's good. Or else he wouldn't put his name alongside these motherfuckers. Okay. What you got to say? And the rest of the crew.
I can't believe he wrote 75 issues of ROM.
People like ROM and Micronauts.
I was going to say ROM was even worse than Micronauts. Micronauts was great for the first 12 issues, then he didn't have any new ideas.
And they both ROM and Micronauts were made from toys, and he was still inspired enough to write.
Why didn't he write Shogun Warriors?
Ugh. It probably would have been better than what it was. I also like Howard's evaluation of the Grand Canyon. It's hard to tell whether he was speaking sarcastically or not. His comment about processed food tends to make me think he was, but his estimation of it as the world's biggest rut certainly startled me into rethinking my attitudes on the relationship between man and nature. And since Steve Gerber wrote this letter to himself, you could say he's very egotistical. He thinks he's a better writer than he is. Pats himself on the back, sucks his own dick.
Name one writer prior to Alan Moore who was better than Steve Gerber.
A bunch of them. Oh, he named some right here. Thomas Pycon, Oscar Wilde. Who's the guy who wrote...
Overrated.
You must be... What? You must be... Philip K. Dick. Alfred Bester.
Carl, and there's none of these guys wrote comics.
It doesn't matter. They still wrote science fiction. Edgar Rice Burroughs. They wrote this stuff that inspired stories like this. Thank you. Oh, and... What's my boy's name? I can't. Cary Bates is a better writer than this guy.
Cary Bates.
I like his. I like Silver Age.
One thing he's ever written that was better than this.
He did. Thank Captain Atom. His Captain Atom in the '80s was great. How dare you? Fucking dare you?
Unreadable.
Anyway.
And I hate Captain Atom.
Back to the high points of the story. I love the obligatory fight scenes. A quick kiss in your own ass. Okay. You've gone a long way toward removing Howard from the punch, hit, kill syndrome. He could have never been that. Anyway, he's a duck. He's a 3 foot tall duck. Anyway.
Well, Marvel editorial pretty much demanded fight scenes.
I don't think that was it. No, you said there wasn't even no editors. I just said they was like real loosey-goosey. So I'm sure that he could do whatever he wanted to.
Yeah, Marvel was great until Jim Shooter ruined everything.
Again, with Jim Shooter. I'm saying at this point in time, Jim Shooter wasn't the editor-in-chief, and Steve Gerber still had fight scenes. He didn't have to do that in his book.
You have to admit,
he was the editor.
Shooter was a homophobe. What about the Hulk issue with those two lisping guys?
I don't know if they lisp, but I don't know if we should review that or not. I'll review it if you want. Say what?
I'll review it if you want.
Yeah, I got
to. I'll have to download it.
Yeah, because you sent it to me a long time ago, and I'm looking around to see if I still have it in my hard drive somewhere. Oh, by the way, could we go back to this page where the outraged Marvelites put Gerber into a processor? It says, in the background, there was more outraged Marvelites, like, yelling and screaming in the background.
And one of them is apparently wearing a Wonder Woman costume.
I was going to say, it is Wonder Woman. Why did he put her there?
Why not?
Everybody else is a fan who dresses normal. Fans look more pathetic and fucked up than this. But these are normal looking people, and then you got Wonder Woman standing in the middle of that. I don't understand. I'm trying to understand.
I got nothing.
You are listening to Zoom, the Retro Comic Book Show.